Hi, good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. A very warm welcome from my side and also on behalf of the entire IR team. As always, in this conference call, I would like to make a few housekeeping remarks. Mainly, it's about the presentation slides and also the other documents. They are all available on the IR section on our website. After this conference call, there will be a replay available. So for all of you who cannot listen now, can listen afterwards after the conference call, so you can pass this also on to your colleagues. Yeah, that's it from my side, and I would like now to hand over to Heinrich Hiesinger to start with the presentation.
Yeah, once again, a welcome to our conference call reporting the and explaining the Q3 figures. Let me first summarize the highlights and later adding some more details. Obviously, we are all acting in a very challenging business environment, and I think the positive reaction which we could experience today was based on two particularly positive highlights which we succeeded in Q3. One was clearly the solid underlying top and bottom line performance of our capital goods business, but the other point which was most welcome was a significant reduction of our net debt. If we look on our volume, total orders are clearly down on a quarter and quarter and year on year level, and this underlying decline is definitely driven by the weak volumes and pricing at our material side. However, and I think this is the good and in future stronger piece of ThyssenKrupp, that orders at elevators and component technology are again at or close to record levels. And if we do adjust the volume of our cap good business for a big ticket submarine order of 2 billion, which we reported a year ago, then our business in capital goods would have even increased in order intake. Though the book-to-bill of our capital goods activities remained in Q3 above 1. A similar reduction in adjusted earnings, which you could see to the prior year quarter, can be mainly explained again by our materials activities. On the other hand, our capital goods was again a continuing dependent earning contribution on a high level. So the sequential deduction in our EBIT adjusted by 12 million to 120 can be really explained by the higher losses at Steel Americas. And the reason for that is that the progress which we could clearly see on the operative side was more than offset by inventory write-downs and a negative translational effects, which we come in more detailed in a minute. What we could see on the capital goods side was a normalized of earnings at our marine system business, which had quite a number of positive impacts in the quarters before. But to see and to highlight and recognize the real strength of ThyssenKrupp, that all business areas, with the exception of Steel Americas, have generated positive underlying EBIT. This is definitely also true for our Steel Europe and our material services business. And if we look on a quarter to quarter, then all, with the exception of Steel Americas and the marine systems, could improve versus prior quarter. Most important for us, because this was definitely where you were not happy with our performance recently, was the significant reduction of our net debt and the improvement in our cash flow generation. Net debt is now down to 5.8 billion. This is down by 450 million versus prior year quarter, or down by 680 million versus Q2. This is driven by a positive free cash flow of around 1 billion from continuing operations, and we can really highlight here three contributions. Steel Europe, very strong contribution from net working capital release. Then we had a down payment, a large down payment in marine systems, but we also clearly have to announce that a significant contribution was coming from our successful divestment of Opaga. We had to compensate some negative effects, negative FX effects, and some negative free cash flow distortion from our discontinued operations. So Guido will give you some details later. We could continue to execute our strategic projects. We could crystallize value for our company both on a profit and on a free cash flow side through the sale of Opaca. And we do not stop here, as you have seen in our announcement. we will add further divestments, which I will highlight in a minute. Clearly, the question out there, what is the situation with Steel Americas? The good point is we can really report to you that we see high interest, that we are in continuous talk with potential investors, but now it's time that they come back to us with a more firm and more binding idea of what they want to do, and probably most important also at the end, we did confirm our outlook for the full year. Let me give some more insights on our order intake structure on the next page. Obviously, we could not avoid that the slowdown in our economic environment and the uncertainty clearly have shown impact. Overall, year on year and quarter on quarter, our orders are down by 21% or 12% respectively. However, once again, and this is shown on the slide with the blue colors, as mentioned, if we take out the large ticket order of Marine Systems a year ago, then overall the order intake in our cable goods business remains very, very stable and solid. So also the reduction in our order intake can be mainly explained by the material businesses. Now, we could see in the materials business that the strong orders supported by a moderate restock in the first months of the calendar years. So now, when we had to look in Q3, we clearly see that after that kind of restocking, Steel Europe was faced by some lower volumes, which made the quarter-on-quarter order down by minus 20%. At Steel Americas, it can be mainly explained by volumes and prices. At Material Services side, the lower volume reflects a softening of our prices. The underlying demand for our cable goods business, however, remains solid. We can even report that on our elevator technology side, we have achieved a record level, which is primarily driven by our excellent performance in new installation Asia Pacific. Just to give you a glimpse, order intake after 9 months in China was plus 42%, in India plus 18%. Our order intake in plant technology was slightly down. Here we see two pictures. Again, we saw a very strong demand from mineral and mining and from the automotive industry, but we saw some project delay for our chemical plant, but we do believe there are new chances coming up with some new investments in US. We got requests for quotations for new fertilizer plants driven by the extremely low gas prices in US. Orders at Component Technology continue to be close at record level. We see a continuing strong demand from the automotive industry, especially in the U.S. This strong demand could compensate some weaker demand for our industrial components business, more specifically for our large bearing business, mainly in China. As mentioned, in Marine Systems, we have to consider the large order a year ago. However, even in Q3, book-to-bill at Marine Systems was well above, and we have to keep in mind that we keep a backlog of around about 7 billion, which would reflect 4.7 years of sales. And I can really announce that we are quite optimistic that we can book a similar large project for Marine Systems in Q4. If we look at some details on a sales side, actually also here we can see the impact, especially on a year-on-year basis. However, here the top-line performance was really cushioned by our capital goods business, which to a certain extent works from their strong order backlogs. Year-on-year sales was down by 7% to a level of 10.7 billion. And again, the decrease can be mainly explained by low volumes at Steel Europe. Here we saw a year-on-year of minus 7%. Lower volumes and prices at material service, which is really then compensated by our cable goods business, where we saw a year-on-year increase in sales by 2%. Quarter-on-quarter, the sales was slightly up by 1%. Here we could really see an increasing sales through virtually all our cable goods business. Comparable increase in cable goods on a quarter-to-quarter basis was plus 4.5%. And as I said before, driven by the strong backlog and high order intake, elevator sales reached a record level. And this could really more than offset the slightly weaker sales at our material business. In Steel Europe, we saw quarter-on-quarter volumes down by -3%. And MX, slightly bigger volumes, -1%, and also some reduction in Steel Americas, which was primarily a mixed effect, meaning less shipments to US and more shipments to Europe. On our EBIT line, we saw a marginal decline by 12 million to 124 in fiscal 3, but once again, we can really say that this was only caused by the performance in all our material business. So the material business went down by -10% to -180s. Here we have some different impact. We had some slightly better price in earnings at Steel Europe. As you could see, we had a roughly stable contribution by material service, but we had to accept that they both could not compensate the weaker results at Steel Americas. As I said before, we saw some progress on the operative side, but we had some inventory router and some adjustments on a sales tax credit. Without these negative impacts, adjusting earnings of Steel Americas, as well as the entire group, would have improved. But what is important, because very often, let's say, all our material businesses are put in the negative basket, to highlight that material business, with the exception of Steel America, it would generate modest but clearly positive results in an overall challenging market. And I think if we look on some trading companies and compare our material service to their performance, this is a good one. And also if we look on the performance of some European steel players, then also our 52 million shows that we can handle the business, even in a difficult environment, professionally. But once again, the overall success of the group is depending on the resilience, visibility, and dependability of the earnings contribution of our capital good business. And this contribution remained really stable at a level of 445 million. And we saw sequentially higher profits at elevator plant and components technology. And as we said, we saw a kind of normalization in marine systems. Some more details on Steel Americas. As I said, operational improvements offset by one-offs. And the one-offs are primarily the following. We had some negative translation effects of around about 50 million related to value-added tax credit at CSA. And as I said, Guido will give you some more details in that. We had some negative effects from inventory write-offs, which contributed to a negative impact of -30 million. We had a positive impact of some settlement negotiation with a sub-supplier of +30 million. Excluding these effects, our earnings would have improved, despite the fact that our blast furnaces are still not running with optimum fuel rate and still have a too low PCI share. We clearly, going forward, expect improvement in Q4 and the quarter coming from the completion of the technical ramp-up, from the subsequent optimization phase, and also due to the fact that customers like our products and we see clear progress in the certification progress. However, we also have to admit that most of these improvements short and midterm will be taken off or eaten up by the challenging market environment which we see right now, because due to the fact that we saw failing scrap prices, all the steel prices went down significantly in North America. And on the other hand, so far our portfolio is not really favorable for us because our share to OEMs and premium quality product is still very low. So the majority of our volume today goes via service centers where we see fierce competition. The other point is that the market demand right now does not allow us that we really ramp up Alabama to the level that we would really see significant degression effects. So the utilization in Brazil going forward remains flat at best. We might even take it back a little bit if the market environment overall remains so challenging. So What you probably will miss going forward is the volume-driven efficiency impact and degression effects. Let's come to elevator. Clearly, what we see positive is that elevator shows a very good development with regard to order intake, and also, again, was a very reliable contributor to our profit margins. Nevertheless, we clearly said we compare the performance of our businesses with the benchmarks, and clearly we see that we cannot be satisfied with the recent performance trend and definitely also not with the performance relative to peers. We clearly analyzed where the root causes are, and here we have to take account the regional effects. As a matter of fact, due to our distribution of the business from a regional perspective, U.S. and Spain account for 40% of our total sales. And what is a positive one, we are very successful in our growth in Asia-Pacific. But this has an impact on the profitability. What we see in U.S. is that the gross margins in new installations come to a more normalized levels out of the booming years in construction in U.S. The most negative impact is coming from Southern Europe. The crisis, particularly in Spain, where we have an outstanding position, lead to a sharp decline in new installation demand and to overall pricing pressure in a market where projects are very, very rare. In Asia Pacific, we are very encouraged with the growth dynamic we are seeing. We also make good money even in new installations. But nevertheless, we have a structural disadvantage here because the share of service in Asia is significantly lower than in other parts of the world, which gives us, despite the overall success, a negative impact on the overall profitability. Nevertheless, this is not acceptable. As a first reaction, we started restructuring, major focus in Europe, some elements given here on the slide. Overall, the restructuring expenses in the running business here will amount to a level of 50 million, and we will not stop here. And these measures, but also with the program which was explained in part to you during the capital market, despite the fact that we are flat right now, we are very confident that we have a very clear roadmap towards our 15% profit margin. I can tell you, Guido and myself, we are very happy with the new leadership team, the new CFO and the CEO which will come, which joins the team but will take over 1st of January. They really have taken this roadmap as their one and work hard against it. The outlook overall for continued operations, given the resilience, the visibility and the dependability of our underlying earning contribution from capital good business, as well as a positive earning contribution from Steel Europe and Material Service, we confirm our outlook. So we expect an adjusted EBIT for the group in the mid-three-digit million euro range. The CapEx guidance remains also unchanged, so we will make sure that the absolute value spent stays below 2 billion from continuing operations. The net debt, and maybe this is important that you understand this, should remain at a level similar to end of fiscal year Q3. Why? We really want to move away from some disproportionate year-end measures, especially on the net working capital side, because it always hits us back in Q1, which you could see even in Q1 this year. And we want to move our organization towards a more sustainable optimization and a reduction of inter-year volatility towards seasonal and business requirements. Probably Guido will also give you a highlight. So, you know, just optimization of a year end, this is not what we want to see. We want to have a consistent, capital, efficient use of capital month by month, quarter by quarter, and not only on the 30th of September. To be a little bit more precise on specific activities on business years in fiscal Q4, material operations, here we do believe that volume and price development will reflect a continuing and intense competition. And we believe within such environment we can have a stable earnings contribution at Steel Europe and Material Services. More precise, Steel Europe overall flat, some probably lower volumes offset by some higher average revenues per ton. On Americas, improvements from further technical ramp-up, as said before, but we are a little bit afraid that continuing price pressure will take away most of those upside. Material services roughly flat in the EBIT development, and this team is really good in a very tight and strict cost management. Our cable goods operations in elevator for Q4, we cannot exclude probably some headwinds from trading conditions in Southern Europe. We do not see any pickup in the Spanish or any other South European market, so I think the trough in the momentum on the market is not seen here. Plant energy should remain broadly stable at high level. On CT, I think for your models, it's important to understand that CT will miss the earnings of Opaca in Q4, as well as some lower earnings from our bearings operations in wind energies, as I said, from China, but also in Q4, the tax credit in America will come to an end. So we do believe that also here we will lose some momentum in the bearing business. Marine systems overall should develop roughly at a normalized level, and all this together made us very solid and confident that we could confirm our overall guidance. On our strategic way forward, our team is in full execution mode. Again, in the last quarter, we could crystallize value with the sale of our Opaca divestment. We could gain on the EBIT side a value of a little more than 300 million, and on the cash side, more than 400 million, which really, you know, had a positive impact on a debt reduction. But as I said, the strategic assessment will never stop. That's the reason why we have added two further divestments. One is Bergo at Component Technology. Bergo is a supplier of undercarriages on a just-in-time basis to earth-moving OEMs. This business has a volume of 500 million with around about 3,000 employees. And the other thing is our construction elements group at Steel Europe. This is one of Europe's biggest suppliers of lightweight steel construction elements for roof, floor, wall, and some facade applications with a total sales of 300 million and around about 800 employees. The strategic review of Steel Americas is in execution. As we said already in our news announcement today, we see high interest. Nevertheless, it's very early in process. Now we need to come from a level of showing intensive interest to bringing it down into an overlap to us. It's a professional-driven process. We have mandated Goldman Sachs and Morgan Stanley, and we go in that discussion with a very open mind to generate the best value for ThyssenKrupp. In parallel, and we will not, reduction of attention here, we focus on the technical ramp-up of the plants. And with that, I would give Guido the chance to give some more details.
Yeah, warm welcome from my side as well. Coming back to the EBIT performance of our business areas throughout the whole group, as already mentioned, while we had some macro headwinds and the fragile sentiment clearly continues to weigh heavily on the earnings, in particular on our materials businesses, we could clearly show that except Steel Americas, we have positive EBIT contribution from all business areas. And on top of that, and I think even more sound data is that beside Marine Systems and Steel Americas, all business areas could improve versus preceding quarter, and Marine Systems, just because the last quarters were distorted by one-time items, they are on a normalized level. If Americas wouldn't have the translation effects and inventory write-down, we would have been even on group level better than in the preceding quarter. While the EBIT adjusted at the group level was down versus preceding quarter, EBIT totally reported was up 220 million, 76 with fiscal Q2, 296 overall in fiscal Q3. While the preceding quarter was impacted by some negative special items, this quarter we definitely had some positive benefits in the special items. But they were not just positive. Opaca definitely contributing with the sale gain above 300, which has already been mentioned, but we had some negative effects
like the rail cartel fine and provisions that material services with a size of more than 130 million being set off there as well. Coming to the net income in Q3 was positive with 87 million. Where does it come from? If you see, we had an EBIT of 296 million, net financial line of 155 negative, and a positive tax income of 76 million, which was reflecting an adjustment of the full year tax rate. This altogether gave us an 87 million net income figure, and included in this is 130 million coming from discontinued operations. In the discontinued operations, this includes 63 million restructuring charges for the relocation of Benra to Krefeld, and an additional negative IFRS 5 charge of 59 million reflecting the negative Outokumpu share price development. So we have to see that the 87 million is not just there because of the positive effect from Vopaka, but we had to cover negative effects like the rail cartel fine and restructuring charges and the IFRS 5 charges as well. So the underlying trend overall was positive. Coming to the cash flow profile overall, as Heinrich already mentioned, this is the most important achievement. Quarter on quarter, year on year, we have a significant reduction of net debt and improvement of cash flow generation. Operating cash flow from continuing operations in fiscal Q3 came out at 902. This is year on year up 59 million and was driven by decreasing inventories mainly. Free cash flow from continuing operations overall in the reporting quarter came out at 1 billion. Year on year and quarter on quarter, really significant improvement, even more pronounced than the operating cash flow. This was 600 million more versus prior year quarter and 1.2 billion above the preceding quarter, reflecting above all tight capex management as well and the cash in from the divestments, but not all that. Despite negative forex effects that account for more than 200 million, we came down with our net debt figure to 5.8 billion, so 680 down compared to Q2, and therefore the gearing again went down from 64 from 73, which we had end of March. The positive operating cash flow, where was it coming from? It was mainly driven by a strong operating cash flow at Steel Europe, 401 million, definitely supported by lower inventories. Component Technologies, 143 in line with a strong result, and Marine Systems with 444, mainly from down payments. Negative effects from the change in others of the 431 are explained by the sale of the Vopaka gain that was included in the net income and therefore has to be corrected here, and the deferred tax income. Lower inventories explained by reduction mainly in our steel businesses. Europe more than 200 and Steel America slightly above 100, which was partially offsetting some high inventories of the remaining business areas, but overall inventories down 227. Receivables went up, again, at Steel Europe, as not all the inventory reductions we have achieved have been realized cash-wise in the same quarter, so therefore we have a corresponding effect, but we'll have cash in the fourth quarter for that mainly. Significant positive cash effect, 769 from the change in other assets liabilities. This is reflecting the down payment of Marine Systems and the rail cartel fine, which we have not paid in Q3, but the 103 million will be paid in Q4. Coming to the inventory levels of Steel Europe and Americas and the material business services businesses, as we already have shown in Q2, we made another progress in Q3. Inventories of Steel Europe are down by 400,000 tons, 200 iron ore, coal and coke, and 200 slabs and finished products. After 1.3 million reduction in Q2, another progress in reducing our inventories and to align with a weaker market environment. At Steel Americas, we see inventories are down 300,000 tons as well, 0.1 raw materials, 0.2 million tons slabs and finished products, reflecting the weaker production, but overall showing that our operational improvements are there and we're better in line with the order intake we have. Material services inventories are somewhat sideways on the more or less the same level. What we see is volumes overall virtually unchanged. We have some price mix effects here. They are working still on optimizing it. But as we see, the volumes overall and the shipments were more or less on the same level as last quarter. So no bigger changes here anymore. Coming to the decrease in net financial debt, then down by 680 to 5.8 billion. The strong free cash flow of 1 billion is partly offset by the negative forex effects of 227 and the 124 negative free cash flow from discontinued operation. But please keep in mind, this negative cash flow will be basically reflected in the higher loan note we will receive when we transfer the asset then to the combined entity out of Compor Inox. The CapEx overall from continuing operations was down to 325 million in Q3. Now that means 1.2 after 9 months, so we're well in line with the full year target of max 2 billion. Coming to the cash flow and the free cash flow pattern of ThyssenKrupp, Heinrich was already outlining that we have a clear pattern starting always in Q1 very negatively and having a strong year-end measures in the fourth quarter. And as we guided throughout the whole year, we expected for this year the same pattern as in the previous year, and you can see that year on year we have already achieved effective cash control and improvements throughout this year. Although we have some headwinds in the macro situation in Q2 and Q3, we were clearly above the free cash flow generation of the previous year figures. Minus 0.3 was 400 better than the 0.7 in the second quarter last year, and the 1 billion in the third quarter is 600 above the 400 we could realize in Q3 last year. But to avoid this clear Q4, Q1 measure, therefore we want to reduce the disproportionate year-end net working capital optimization we have done in the last years, always at ThyssenKrupp, and therefore we move towards more sustainable optimization and a reduction of the intra-year volatility. That means for the fourth quarter, you cannot expect a strongly positive free cash flow, but we want to keep our net debt level rather stable. But the Q1 next year will be significantly less than Q1 last year. But please keep in mind, nevertheless, as we will have bonus payments and other things that are always there in the fourth calendar year quarter, it will be negative, but it will be significantly better, and we will have a reduced volatility. Coming to the solid financial situation, we see that we have available liquidity of above 7 billion and a well-balanced maturity profile. And although you have seen maybe the rating agency's updates, what is positively mentioned in all the reports is that we have a very strong liquidity base, and therefore the financing through of ThyssenKrupp is well guaranteed. Then I want to come to a short outline to what have we reached in our impact program, our realizing efficiency potentials across the group. As we have announced throughout the year, we want to achieve 300 million cost savings in this program. Out of that, 80% of the targets have already been realized by end of June, and we're well progressing ahead. And what is even more important, we see progress across all business areas, and it's not just one single project making up for the money, but it's really a huge number of numerous measures we see everywhere, which reflects that we really got the organization and got in a mobilizing effect and a high level of acceptance. So we see many programs contributing to it throughout the full group. Two-thirds of the savings are realized in the materials activities. Successful examples here, as we mentioned, fleet management in North America and some preventive maintenance schedules where we could reduce our operating costs in South American processing operations. Despite the good performance at our cap goods businesses, one-third of the savings was coming from cap goods activities. Elevator, for example, with process optimization and new installation and all the restructuring we're undergoing in the Southern European and the German businesses. But this is not enough. As we said, we're noticing that we have a high level of caution among our customers, and we cannot rule out that the negative market sentiment will continue throughout the next year. Therefore, we are ready and we're prepared for a weaker environment and more competitive environment. What did we do so far? If you take a look at Steel Europe, Steel Americas, besides the reduction of the working capital, which we do throughout the material businesses, we have short-time work for 2,200 employees starting in August. We will reduce leased labor. The idling of blast furnace number 9 will be there, and we will decide somewhere next year whether it's needed to bring it back in. Cost-cutting programs will continue. Material services, Heinrich was already lining it out. We have a headcount reduction of 200 across the European activities, and we will reduce leased labor by 300 employees. We have a hiring freeze and cost-cutting programs to align with the weaker demand we see coming up to keep the business positive and the margin as positive as possible. On components, we see abroad some headcount reduction in some businesses, but especially to prepare for maybe a downturn in the European businesses overall from the customer side. We have employee flexibilization and look for shift adjustments to cope with that one. On elevator technology, we have around 500 employees in Southern Europe, UK and Russia that we reduce. Production process optimization like the German factory in Neuhausen and some other cost-cutting programs throughout the group. On plant, some headcount reduction in Thailand, Mexico, Australia, and we have at plant at Marine Systems more employee flexibilization to cope with that. On corporate level, hiring freeze. We have some cost-cutting programs. We went through all the travel, events, advertising, facility services, fleet management, consultants. So we went line by line through all these things, especially for the budget discussions, and we're very cautious to not allow to spend here too much money. We revised all the projects that are currently ongoing to get the budgets for them a bit down, but still keep the spirit up and keep other projects in realization, because there are many things, especially on the IT side, where we definitely have to continue. This is all on top of that. We launched with a new head we have for procurement, Mr. Holzer coming from external. As we announced last time, we launched a new program, ThyssenKrupp Synergize Plus, as a part of our impact program, where we want to especially enforce closer cooperation and group-wide activities. With that, we recently launched equipment program that is targeting 100 million in the short term. But let me clearly state here, this is included all in our forecasts and in our guidance. This will not be on top. This is more to guarantee and to support the figures as we announce. With that, I'd like to come to the business area performance. Steel Europe, quarter on quarter, EBIT adjusted was up to the positive 52 million in Q3. Lower shipments were offset by higher average revenues per ton. Orders in the reporting quarter declined by 16%. Volume-wise, it was even more, down 20%. Current trading conditions, what we see is our premium and well-diversified product mix clearly helps to partly cushion the general market weakness. The demand for brakes and products such as medium wide strip, which are directly or indirectly geared to premium auto, remains currently relatively robust. Tin plate has a solid performance, and we will work on our product mix to further optimize after implementation of best owner solutions for construction, which we now announced and which is now sold. Nevertheless, while targeting the benchmark position, we cannot decouple from market with prices remaining unsatisfying. However, global price levels seem to have stabilized recently with first successful price increases in the U.S. The European flat steel market is still influenced by uncertainties despite supply adjustments, but price pressure is easing in Northern and Southern Europe a bit. General direction of the market and pricing should become clearer just in September after the holiday time has ended here in Europe. Given the current market caution and environment lacking confidence, we will not restart the reline blast furnace number 9 this year and have introduced short-time work at several downstream operations as of August. Overall, performance in Q4 should be roughly flat versus Q3, with lower volumes and higher average revenues per ton. Coming to Steel Americas. As already explained by Heinrich, we had a dilution of the operating progress we see in the results by one-offs. And the main effect was a negative translation effect on 50 million on the functional currency on the tax credits. Let me explain that a bit more. We have tax credits, we have capitalized, and we have on the balance sheet as an asset. These are just tax assets where we really can offset them. In this case, we can set them off against the salaries and the tax parts in the salaries we pay out to our employees. Therefore, economically, we don't have a risk, because we have a clear hedging and offset real against real. But as we sell all our goods in US dollars, the functional currency in the accounting treatment for Brazil is US dollars. Therefore, these balance sheet positions are reflected in US dollars instead of real, and therefore they reflect the currency change, but this is just balance sheet driven adjustment. There is no economical risk uncertainty or missing hedging behind it. In the last quarter, these amounts were smaller. As the currency change, real towards dollar was stronger this time. We have the 50 million effect we have to highlight here. But again, let me state there is no economical or currency risk behind it. We can clearly offset it, but as the personnel expenses are not on the liability side, you don't have the same effect in the balance sheet. That's the reason behind. On top of that, inventory write-downs low from 30 million and positive effect from compensation payments, 30 million. So overall, performance was 212 outside these one-time effects, and therefore they did improve despite lower volumes and lower shipments in the Americas. Positive highlight definitely overall was the qualification process. 20% approvals we already received. We are going for qualifications for more than 100 projects at all 10 major auto companies. Same is true for pipe and tube business. We qualified or are at final stages for OCTG and X-grades. And we have already been awarded with a significant share in the Enterprise Seaway Pipeline project from Oklahoma to Texas Gulf Coast. The material will be shipped from August till December in significant volumes for us. However, as mentioned, short and midterm technical and marketing improvements are set against an overall challenging business environment. Material services, quarter on quarter order intake was down 9% due to weak business environment and lower size of volumes of the orders. So year-on-year orders were down 19%, excluding Cervon, which we sold last year, it was just 12%. But it's reflecting, as you see, shipments overall are still on a higher level. It reflects that customers are cautious. They order lower volumes and lower sizes and lower lots, but still, as shipments are good, they order a bit later. And therefore, the outlook on the shipment side is a bit better than on the order intake. Quarter-on-quarter EBIT was reflecting the strict cost management and that we're not just depending on metal services, so we could cushion a bit by our well-diversified product and customer mix, that we're not depending on specific material grades or specific industry segments, and our complementing trading and logistics and processing business was helping here as well. Raw materials trading was affected by lower utilization of customers, especially in the steel industry. Customers are very carefully and price conscious. For Q4, we expect a rather stable development. Elevators, Heinrich already mentioned the strong order intake we have. We are on a record high here. China plus 42, India plus 18% versus prior year. And America's is plus 21, close to pre-crisis level, as they catch up now with modernization, not so much new installation, but modernization, and is catching up as in the last years that has been reduced to a too low level. Our maintenance portfolio is growing constantly, and the restructuring in Europe is progressing well. Quarter on quarter, EBIT was up by 11%, although margin still is under pressure and not really satisfying. Q4, we cannot exclude headwinds in the profitability from the market developments in Southern Europe. Therefore, margins and EBIT overall will be below prior year, given the weak demand and pricing in Southern Europe. Plant technology, order intake again supported by ongoing solid order situation at mining and minerals business, despite some first signs of raw material price softness due to the European crisis. We see good demand level from the auto industry in our system engineering business, with another backlog at another record level. And in Q3, we could book the largest order in history in system engineering with a value of 85 million. So we're progressing system engineering very well. 9 months comparison shows that the order intake is dominated by many, but rather small and medium-sized orders. Larger orders, especially chemical and partly cement business, if especially coming from the Middle East, do show some reluctance and postponements. So it's still not back on track there. EBIT, PT, we always have quarters with higher EBIT contribution. This is true this time again due to some project milestones. In general, margins will normalize, and we want to maintain a double-digit margin as we always announce. Overall, EBIT adjusted for the second half will be above fiscal first half, as we said last time, implying broadly flat earnings in the fourth quarter. Components, market situation as automotive business, which is contributing for slightly above 70% of our sales exposure, is still with a strong demand there, especially in the U.S. Auto-related order intake quarter-on-quarter flat, year-on-year still up 5%. On the bearings business, we see ongoing cautious demand from the wind energy industry, China, and some upcoming weaknesses in the U.S. Other industries, relatively stable. Quarter-on-quarter, EBIT up 5% to 134, explained mainly by higher contribution from auto businesses. Overall, EBIT still slightly diluted by ramp-up costs for the new plants in Asia. Closing of Wolfpacker has already been mentioned, and we will have divestment process for Berkel that is initiated. Marine systems, order intake Q3 includes the third submarine of the Dolphin class with a volume of around 400 million. Year-on-year decline in orders was with a big ticket effect, the 2 million submarine order from the Turkish Navy. The backlog overall, 7 billion on record level. And we expect an order intake Algeria that will be there in Q4, which will be a bigger effect. EBIT in Q3 was without aperiodic items and therefore normalized level, which we expect to repeat in Q4. Coming to the discontinued operation, stainless, difficult quarter for stainless industry overall again. Quarter-on-quarter order intake was down 20%, reflecting lower volumes and slightly lower average transaction prices. Since April, we have decreasing alloy surcharges due to the weak nickel, but nevertheless, the stabilization of base prices throughout the quarter. EBIT adjusted further impacted by the negative contribution from Stainless US, 54 million. On top of that, special items of 124, 63 for the restructuring for the melt of Krefeld and relocation of Benrad, 59 IFRS valuation charge from the Inoxum transaction overall, reflecting the Outokumpu share price development. Overall, absence of regular depreciation expenses, as we have with this way of disclosure, of 49 million. Having said that, we would come to the conclusion. For the group, we have a weak economic situation and, in particular, general uncertainty resulting from the unresolved sovereign debt crisis are increasingly impacting our markets. In this environment, Capco's businesses are delivered pleasingly robust performance. Steel Europe and Material Services also held up well and returned positive earnings. Nevertheless, we're noticing the high level of caution among our customers and have responded firmly and appropriately with our steps like the short-time working. However, the situation remains challenging, and in Americas, in parallel with the ramp-up, we're pressing ahead with the examination of our strategic options, and we have seen keen market interest and are holding talks with potential investors.
Yeah, thank you very much, Guido. And operator, please take over.
Your first question comes from Michael Schillaker. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, thanks very much for taking my questions. Just one small point. I'm very happy to see that you're addressing the window dressing issue at year end. I think it's a small point, but I think it's very clear in terms of how you're actually running the business now. And I think that's one of the big positives, that you're no longer just going to run this business for the year end. So well done for that. Now, on to my questions. Unfortunately, all on the Americas. My first question, in terms of the lack of impairment, can you just give us a little bit of flavour in terms of your conversation with the auditors as to why they didn't make you take an impairment this time around? Is it simply time, and that at the end of the day, the process is going to take so long they don't feel that now is the time to do that? Is it because you persuaded them that it would be a competitive disadvantage for them to take an impairment now and show your hand on valuation? Or have you had genuine valuation discussions with them, not just on your sense of valuation, but including conversations you've had with third parties, is the first question. The second question and the third question are broadly the same. Can you just elaborate a little bit in terms of how advanced the negotiations are? Are we simply at first round stage where people are entering the data room to have a look, or are these more substantive discussions going on with regards to valuation? And how close do you feel people are, given that you're still in ramp-up phase? How prepared do you think people are at this stage to make a call on valuation? And can you just give us a clue? Clearly, you won't give us any names, I understand that, but can you just give us a sense of the number of counterparties that you are actually talking to? Is it 1, 3, 10, whatever? Would be helpful.
Okay, Mike, let me come back to that. As you clearly said, we had a triggering event, which was our change in the strategy that we said the integrated model doesn't work. In the current stages of our evaluation process, therefore, we had to do something, and we did evaluation based on our internal plans, what you can do and what you can achieve with the individual plans, so with the two ones, the U.S. and the Brazilian one. That was the change towards the way we did it before, and based on that material, we could talk with our auditors and come to an agreement that this one definitely currently does not lead to any sort of impairment. So we could obviously take our book values and have numbers behind them that would support them. The discussions, as you expect, we cannot tell any names and cannot say a lot about the number, but I can tell you I have a very busy traveling schedule, and it is more interest than I expected.
Can you give us any vague sense of the volume of interest in terms of numbers? And just to follow up on the first question, in terms of the impairment, is this therefore simply you putting your valuation spreadsheet under the nose of the auditors and them accepting it, or is there something a little bit more substantive than that?
With auditors today, you have pretty detailed discussions, and they do understand business cases very well. So you have longer discussions with them, but they were not really that difficult, to put it that way, or so controversial, so they understand the cases. And regarding the numbers, as I said, I'm very, very busy. And your number you indicated, I think you're a bit conservative on what you assume is numbers of interested parties.
Well, I started at
finally,
one.
You have to see.
I started at one and I finished at 10.
Down, many are interested to get the numbers, and if they have to write something on a paper to be binding, that's a different game. But so far, it's rather the higher end and above what you indicated.
Okay, so double digit plus. Okay, thanks a lot. Very clear.
The next question comes from Bastian Zinagowitz. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon, gentlemen. Now, I've got three questions, and my first one would be on Steel Americas. So actually on the cash flow there, you reported negative operating cash flow of 99 million, and obviously there was some working capital reduction included, I think, which you did not disclose separately, and then also a few other items with one-off character. If you would strip those out and also the working capital change, what would have been the underlying cash burn in this quarter which you had in Steel Americas? And then also, do you expect the effects with the rising or with the worse fuel rate basically to be a little bit more stable in the last quarter and in the quarters ahead? And then secondly, could you give us a bit more detail on the additional measures which you mentioned or which you planned in elevators, or maybe also in the context of the management change which you had in the business recently? And then finally, on the upgrade of the Brazilian caster, which I think you're currently working on, is that still on track to be completed? So basically, do you expect to have the new mold ready in December? And then also, when can we expect the first shipments into the Brazilian market, if any? Thank you.
So coming to the Brazilian caster, clearly to give us more flexibility to supply also slabs to other customers, we need to adjust one of our casting lines to really produce thinner slabs. This is well under track, and we believe that we are ready to cast different thickness maybe somewhere in November, December. So well under track, and also some, let's say, first interest given to us here. On the elevator side, there are several items. We are, and I think just to make it short in a very compact manner, one of the biggest levers clearly is to really ramp up and continue to our installed base. Secondly, we see that we have still a disadvantage to some of our peers in new installation. This is driven by the fact that a significant portion of our business was acquired. Naturally, we have still a too high complexity on our portfolio, which is true for both the controllers, but also the number of elevators. So here we need to find a better optimization. We will not go to one or two products only, but still the complexity is too high. Third point clearly is that from a global perspective, we optimize all our manufacturing and logistic pieces, and gradually we assess all our regions whether they really have the potential to develop as fast as possible. Overall, this is a very well-structured program. It's from the team, and maybe they come back to you in the next Capital Market Days, structures into 20 sub-modules, which are really reported month by month. The reason why we really have called for a new management team actually were two. We were not satisfied with, on the CFO side with the acceptance of such a reality, that good is not good enough. The new CFO takes it completely different. He sees the gaps and takes it rather as an opportunity. And the other point was that until today, Elevator is run by my colleague Olaf Berlin, but it doesn't matter how hard he will work, he cannot be 100% in Elevator and being 100% a board member in ThyssenKrupp. But these are two jobs where you need to be all the time there, and that was the reason why we said this is for us such a fundamental pillar in the future that we want to have 100% dedicated CEO for Elevator only. And we believe that this combination will give us the momentum in the years which you want to see in the years going forward.
Coming back to your cash flow question, I think for the operating cash flow, the EBITDA figure is rather a better guidance because they have a bit less of the working capital effect. EBITDA was something 171 negative. We will have definitely in future some tax credits we can use, as the one I explained. But nevertheless, EBITDA is in the midterm a good indicator.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and then to follow up on my question on the Castler, obviously the Brazilian slab market at the moment is also a very tough one, and you've got quite tough competition. So would you say that the slabs which you sell, would you expect them to sell them above average margin? So is it a better margin business versus what you sell into the US at the moment? And then also maybe just broadly, obviously you said already that maybe the progress in the US is stagnating a little bit, and obviously you have also some headwinds in Europe, but maybe if you could give us at least the volume number of what we could possibly assume for next year, just very broadly, of what could be a very, very, very rough corridor of volumes you can expect for Brazil. Thank you.
It's really too early in the process. We just opened up this opportunity and announced that we will really change one of our casting lines to over such an opportunity. We saw signals, but volume and pricing is still out there. The only thing what I can tell you, we will not sell at a lower price than we deliver today into Alabama.
So it would be an above average margin business, basically, what you do there.
The Brazilian market overall has better prices than other markets because of the protection of the market overall. So therefore, we have to compare to the Brazilian price levels, and we will have additional potential from selling out to the Brazilian market to cover our fixed cost base.
Okay, excellent. Thank you.
The next question comes from Hermann Reitz. Please ask a question.
Yes, hello, gentlemen. First, the question on order intake in July. Could you please elaborate on that in the technologies and steel division here in Steel Europe, especially? And then could you please give us a sense of the operating improvements in Steel Americas in the current quarter? Then a question regarding the compensation payment for what was compensated. And then the 20% of approvals realized. What does that effectively mean on with regard on future shipments in, say, the current and for the remainder of the year, these approvals?
So I think that the order intake in Steel Europe in July was according to the guidance which we have given, that overall the performance would be flat. The uncertainty, and that was the reason why we gave you an indication that we might experience slightly lower volumes, which are cushioned a little by a higher average revenue per ton, was not related to July. We are rather a little bit cautious what will happen in September after the holiday season, but July was really, according to our expectation, momentum continuing at the same level as Q3.
And for the technologies activity?
Technologies, as we said, trends continue. The only thing which we ask you to take in consideration in components business, as I said, is that Vopaka is deconsolidated from 1st of July, both in volume and in EBIT. And secondly, that the only area where we see a slowdown here in components business is really our bearing business. Already visible in China, but what we do believe that we will see a significant impact in order intake is in August, September in US when the tax credits for windmills will expire. So far we do not have a clear signal whether there is a chance prior to the election to have a clear signal and guidance here.
And for the equipment for mining activities?
Continuous strong demand. I can tell you here we have even a kind of a conservative approach because as we told you last time, if you look on the order which we do get from customer, they are much bigger than we report to you because we only report those where they do not have the options to cancel.
Okay.
So, which is sort of booked, signed, sealed, and paid, the overall projects are much larger. Here we are rather limited today, rather by the number of people which we have to execute the jobs. And we are a little bit cautious not to take more than we actually can execute from a risk management perspective.
Regarding the compensation payment, what I can say is it was in relation to one of the biggest problems we had over there otherwise. We have to treat confidentially.
The
20% of the approvals we achieve, that means that we will not have immediately after that shipment. It just means that once the OEMs will have new models, then we are taken into account, and now we reach the first step that we can apply for it and that we can deliver. So therefore, as we said, we'll have just small volumes in this year, in the fourth quarter, and starting then to get orders for the next year.
What can we, say, calculate for products sold at premium prices in fiscal year 12-13? Is it possible to make a rough guess for that from you, from your side?
It will be a share below 20%.
Okay. And then follow-up for the compensation payment. Is that all what you received for that big problem?
For the big problem, what you have to take into account is that we hold back a certain amount of money beforehand already what have been realized in our case, meaning we did not realize the CapEx full amount, so the full amount was a bit bigger.
To clarify that, did the counterpart now pay for all what you or what was negotiated, or is there still an additional payment in your favor?
No, we said already to you in recent quarters, the contractual situation which we have with such sub-supplier will not allow us to come even close with any compensation payment to the real damage.
Okay, and then the last question of the operating improvement in the current quarter in Steel Americas.
As I said, the following, from the potential of the plant, we clearly see that we are continuous improving and the major focus in Q4 will be the way we run our blast furnace, meaning especially ramping up the fuel rate. The point is that the benefit which goes to the bottom line is limited, as we cannot ramp up the volume, let me say, to the running level of 4 million because the market right now in U.S. is not demanding. That is the reason what I said, despite the fact that operational KPIs are clearly improving, the utilization rate in Brazil at the best will be flat, but if the markets will, will continue to be weak or prices going down, then we would rather, limit the output of the blast furnace before we continue to serve market on absolute unattractive prices. So the real benefit of having a better operational KPI only becomes visible on the bottom line if we really can ramp up volume more in a range of 4 million, not on the level what we can see now.
Could you please name the fuel rate? That means the composition of coke and PCI?
I think we will come back to it. Today we are still too unstable, but from next year on we will give you a better guidance. Here, the target clearly for us is that we are targeting a PCI rate for the next year summer in the round of for entire carbon contribution of 520 kilograms per ton, where we clearly want to see that we are significant above 100 kilogram PCI rate reliably. Clearly, we have also today some weeks where we are 150 kilo or more, but we do not see it today very, very stable.
Okay. Okay, fine. Thank you.
The next question comes from Ingo Schacher. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, thanks. My first question relates to the plant technology segment regarding the problematic markets, Middle East and India, where orders are postponed. Can you outline your expectations for these markets for the next quarters if the large orders could potentially come back there? And if the assessment is cautious or negative and we see a continued mix shift from these low-margin product areas to the higher-margin areas in the U.S. and in mining, shouldn't we then see the current margin level of around 12% as more than new normal for plant technology? And then the second question is relating to two technical questions relating to Steel Americas. First of all, if the disposal process continues in the way that it currently seems to do, will you already report Steel Americas as discontinued in this year's annual report? And are there any one-offs that you can already foresee now for the fourth fiscal quarter?
Yeah, let me give you an update on the order intake on plant technology. We expect in the fourth quarter, like normally in the fourth quarter, higher volumes than what we've seen in the two previous quarters. So, but otherwise, as we've said, Middle East and India are still cautious in big projects. Small and medium-sized projects are going well. The rest is a bit delayed. So we expect this trend so far to continue, but nevertheless, Q4 will be a lot stronger. Regarding the Americas and the accounting treatment, we now have to see how the whole project is continuing and how far we will come into the discussions. We're in an early phase. We just started, and we will adjust our accounting treatment according to the progress we will do in the process.
And just to make clear, we do not expect by reshifting our plant and energy resources to other markets to compensate for the weak North Africa that this will dilute our margins. We clearly gave the guidance to our plant technology. We are ready to support your growth to a certain extent, but we expect you to maintain the double-digit level. And as we said also in some detailed discussion with some of you, accepting that the margin will dilute a little bit is not that we reduce pricing to the customer, but that we extend the offers toward our customers into some, adjacent part of the plants where we do not work on our own technology. And naturally, if you, do not only work on your own technology, but you either add, some adjacent piece which have higher values to customers, but where we need to purchase the material, the average margin is a little bit lower for us. But we do it very, very carefully. We do it in customers where we have already running projects, and we do it in end customer segments where we have knowledge and know-how.
Okay for you?
Yeah, thanks.
Great.
The next question comes from Sylvain Brunet. Please ask your question.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Sylvain Brunet with Exane BNP. My first question was related to the short-term work program you're putting in place. If you could help us quantify the impact on volumes, if that's more or less a 5% decline quarter on quarter. And my second question is, you know, if we look forward and we look at the full year 2012-13, where consensus numbers still look pretty demanding. In fact, implying almost a 30 or 40% increase in steel prices in Europe. I'm wondering how comfortable you feel about an EBIT of close to 1.4 billion euros in 2012-13. Thank you.
I think your assumption on the volume reduction, which forced us to go for short-time work, was pretty the same as we see it. The point is, and this is probably the difference between us and some other steel manufacturers, when they got the questions, what do you think about this group going for short-time work, they clearly said, we do not see any risk, we see high utilization. You know, also with this group, it would be easy to acquire work for our people, but the consequence would be that we acquire losses. And we clearly said that we try to run, despite an environment which is reacting slightly different, we try to run Steel Europe from a professional viewpoint, and we rather take out capacity and adjust our resources and do not run for volume on totally unacceptable prices. So this is probably the reason why we are proactively going for short-time work, and we report profits. And others say they are fully loaded, but they report losses.
Okay. And on consensus for full year 2012-13?
You can understand that at that point in time, we will not comment on 12-13. Probably here you can expect some guidance in end of November, October, when we publish our year-end result.
Okay. Thank you.
The next question comes from Carsten Rieck. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you very much. It's Carsten Rieck from UBS. Just three areas I would like to cover. The first one, it's good to see that there are more assets actually on the disposal list. On Berco, I have a specific question. Is the Berco asset actually profitable? And why do you put that on the list right now? And why wasn't it on the list in the first place, the list you actually put out in May? What changed here? The second area is your recent announcement of investments in Bochum. Could you just give me the rationale why you would invest right now in Bochum, given the fact that the electric arc furnace from the stainless operations will likely be shut down in 2016 at the latest? You have then a hot rolling mill there. I'm just curious how that works with your production workflow here. And the third area, the average sales prices, according to your guidance in Steel Europe, move up also in the next quarter, even though we have seen quite a significant steel price drop over the past, let's say, 3-4 months. Does that mean that we could see in the first quarter 2013 rather very challenging environment for ThyssenKrupp Steel Europe, or am I a little bit too cautious here? Thank you very much.
Let me start with the first one. I think the point is the following, that as you said correctly, we always have a time shift between the situation pricing which we see on the market, which is relevant for the order intake, and the revenue per ton, which is relevant for shipment. So that's the reason why our, let's say, guidance for Q4 rather reflects the markets probably 3-4 months ago. So if we would not succeed in Q4 to keep the price at that level, then the impact you describe would happen. But so far, we still see the chance to maintain the prices at the present level. But as your let's say, your conclusion would be correct if prices would weaken now and we would take order intake. But as you said, we don't see it
right now. We have to go through September and how that goes to see how the rest of the year will then be going.
And the investment in Bohung, they are not related to the part which we are going to combine with Outokumpu. It's really to our flat carbon, where we need to continue to invest in our capability to really roll high-strength steels, because especially our rolling mill in Bochum is very specific for specific grades related to our automotive industry.
Yeah, Berko, you're correct. It was not on the list so far, but we have come and entered into discussions that could lead to a very good industrial sense for it. So we came across a good value-realizing opportunity, which we are exploring right now.
Can you just elaborate whether this specific asset was actually on an EBIT basis, positive or negative?
On an EBIT basis, on an ongoing performance, they are positive.
Okay, thank you.
The next question comes from Rotor Brauneiser. Please go ahead, sir.
Yes, hi everybody, Rokos Pornas of Kepler. Just a few follow-up things from my side. One is circling around Steel Americas. I was just wondering on the utilization situation down there. I guess you reported that you had a utilization around 65%, and based on your assumption that it could be flat, could be down, depending on the U.S. situation. So, is there? Are you considering a shutdown of one of the blast furnaces rather than running the two at such insufficient levels? The second, related to that, I guess you had a negative performance in the third quarter versus the U.S. market. What can we expect in terms of shipment for the fourth quarter? Will you withdraw further from the market or perform disproportionate to the U.S. shipments as a whole in order to reduce the negative effect from the U.S. prices? Maybe can you elaborate on your view there? And regarding the guidance for the fourth quarter, the progress you might make, is this small improvement rather based on your reported or your adjusted number, which looks 50 million euros better? The next point is on the visibility on your short-term work in Germany. Is this now scheduled just for the months of August, or are you already seeing short-term work going beyond that?
So far, let me start on that one. In America's utilization, you're correct, that's 65%. But if you take a look at our overall production that we see in steel overall, and we're managing it completely as a triangle, we have a blast furnace number 9 that is out here in Europe, and we want to maintain so far on the two blast furnace operation, and that's what we're planning going forward to get it done even in a weak environment. We need to ship certain volumes to the U.S., we want to continue with our certification process, and as we said, 20% now is already where we have the approval process realized. So we're getting better and better into the market, so that should help us to maintain the production on these levels and not to come to other parts. Therefore, U.S. market, yes, you saw us going a bit more for prices, and we had to sell at very low prices compared to CRU in Q1 and Q2, so we could catch up and reduce the inventory. So we are on a better level now. We're closer to our customers and improving, and we think that should maintain us there. Therefore, the EBIT adjusted performance, or the as you see the EBIT adjusted figure there, we should in Q4 slightly improve, not a lot, from the figure as you saw it from the 260 coming. And we will have to see how the currencies and all these effects will be working out, because that has a significant effect for one time, as you saw in this quarter.
I think to really make you understand what we shared with you very often, we did not give our American team a volume target. We clearly said to them, you need to find the optimum between the ramp-up in the market and minimizing cash and EBIT losses for our company. We will definitely not make any compromise on those volumes which go into future OEM and tubes and pipe business. But you're probably aware that when the scrap prices went down dramatically 2 months ago in U.S. due to the missing demand from Europe, that those driving electric arc furnace gave an immediate price reduction to the market of around about $60 to $70 per ton. And naturally, on such a price level, it didn't make sense for us to push too much volume via the service channel. So we will react very flexible, let's say, on a market situation on all those elements which are standard products, which are sold via the service channels. The target, primary target is here to optimize the impact for ThyssenKrupp on the specification piece, where we go for premium quality. We will not let step back at all here. Full momentum is given.
No. And if you take a look at the U.S. market, we haven't seen any blast furnace shutdown there as well. So.
Regarding the blast furnace shutdown, what I was thinking about is if you said that there's some lack of visibility on the U.S. demand for the rest of the year, and in case it would not hold firm and deteriorate somewhat, then you would get in even a more tricky territory for the utilization for Brazil, and then there are two ways to do it. Either you try to keep it at the very low minimum and you produce slightly more and ship more to Europe, or you have to take a decision on what you do with one of the blast furnaces.
I think in case that we have to take consequences, we are always willing and considering all alternatives, and you can be sure that we evaluate and currently monitor all possibilities that we do have to react to the market if needed.
All right. And what's your visibility on the short-term work in Germany at the moment? Is it just for the months of August, or stance on it?
That would be a bit longer.
Okay. Okay, thank you.
Your next question comes from Alessandro Abate. Please ask a question.
Good afternoon, Alessandro Abate, JP Morgan. Just a couple of questions. Just going back to the preliminary conversation you had with the potential bidders of Steel Americas, are you also considering a potential partnership, just at least a preliminary talk? And if this is the case, if any potential partnership you are now having on a case study is involving both assets in Brazil and the U.S., or in more specific way, just one of the two. The second is just maybe an accounting thing. What do you expect in terms of corporate consolidation for the next quarter, and if we can keep the same rate for 2013? Thank you.
Yeah, regarding corporate, let me start with that one. We will have some shifts in 2012, as we have some parts of allocation that we might have changed, bringing some of the costs that are closer to our business areas back to business areas. But we will give you an appropriate guidance once we have our budget finalized with the Q4 figures and with the guidance for next year. Otherwise, you can rather expect overall for the group, if you have constant level where you allocate the cost, more or less a stable development in that respect. Regarding the bidders and the process and partnerships and what we will expect, I do understand your question, but as we're very early in the process, please do understand we will see what offers will be on the table and what we can see, what valuation realization for us is possible and what can be the best solution then, and then we will see what is the appropriate way forward. So far, it's too early to say what could be there. It would be just clouds in the coffee.
Just trying to rephrase a bit my question. I perfectly understand that it's too early in the process to give any kind of indication. But if you could give us some light in terms of potential interest, in terms of a partnership, have you registered a high interest for the overall assets or just one in a specific way? And that's it, basically. Thank you.
What I can say from the talks we had, there's a large variety of different interests where people are looking in it and where they want to have it, being it acquiring the two or just one of the two. As you can expect from the different landscape you have for industrial investors, you see around that there are different interests and different geographical split. So there are different views on looking at it. Some do look in partnerships, some don't. So there's a wide range. Let's see what crystallizes.
Okay, Okay, just if I may, just to follow up on the ramp up in the US, perfectly understandable that you might also consider to reduce the output if the situation in the market does improve any further from today's point of view. But is it possible to get a kind of sense of directionality of the ramp up of premium products you have in mind for 2012-13? I mean, considering the stable condition as of today, not really that exciting, but if there is any meaningful jump, according also to the certification process you are going through at the moment in the US, what's your target for 2012 in terms of changing the product mix towards the premium quality? Thank you.
As we said, for this year, our premium share will be below 5%, and what we are targeting for next year is definitely above 10, and coming as close as possible in the direction going to 20. But here it very much depends how much new models our OEMs will start next year, because as we had, or as we shared with you already last time, the certification process is a precondition, but it will not immediately trigger large volumes. OEM manufacturers will only change to our material if they have a relaunch of a model or if they ramp up a new model. So, but definitely what we target is going above 10% in the next business year.
Thank you very much for your answer.
The next question comes from Teda Ekblom. Please go ahead, sir.
Thanks very much. It's Cedar Ekblom from Bank of America Merrill Lynch. I've got a few follow-up questions. Firstly, can you discuss your basis of valuation for the Steel Americas assets? The only reason why I ask is obviously the assets don't make any earnings at the moment, so an earnings multiple is difficult. And if I look at an EV per ton of what 7 billion euros would imply, it's well in excess of one where listed peers are trading, or two where similar M&A has been done in the region. So is it fair to assume that you're looking at a replacement cost basis to value those assets? And then also, I'd just like to understand, in terms of the ramp-up of the Steel Americas assets, volume demand in Europe, in the U.S., is actually pretty good. I understand that Thyssen is selling to steel service centers, and demand there is obviously sort of a little bit more unstable, but ultimately demand in the U.S. market for flat product steel is very, very solid. Pricing is an issue because there's overcapacity. So how do you square that against the long-term viability of these assets when you're talking to potential buyers? Because demand is not a problem in volumes. So you're reporting falling volumes on a quarter-on-quarter basis, but the in-market demand is there. So I'd just like to try and understand how that comes up in conversation.
Okay, Cedar, let me come back to that. First, the valuation, as I already said, it is, we do sell to new plants. We don't go completely to replacement costs, but definitely we're selling to plants, and the replacement costs for the buyers are definitely what they have to take into account, because for each and every buyer, I think the own environment and the own business case comes from a different point of view than ours, so therefore the costs to run and build such a plan are important for them. Having said that, and therefore multiples, you cannot really use if you want to do a valuation. That is not enough. If you use normal EBIT or other multiples or capacities, you will not come to a valuation that is close to our book values. But what we did in the valuation this time for the impairment test is that for the two plans, we had DCF calculations, what can you do with the current status of the plan if you take them further in a good environment? And then we took this DCF and compared it to the book values, and they supported them.
Okay. And when you're talking about good environment, I mean, are you talking about, you know, pre the global financial crisis? Is that the basis that you're looking at?
What we're doing is we're taking the plans in the regional environment where they are, and as we always said, for us, the integrated plan to have it Brazil slab production, U.S., the rolling and then the marketing of the material is in the current environment with a stronger real, with the inflation you have in Brazil, not a viable case anymore. So if you split it, if you take Brazil into Brazil and U.S. into a U.S. environment, then we obviously and clearly see, and if you talk to a potential interest or to the market general sentiment out there, These are brand new factories and plants that are leading edge regarding the quality. So there is a business case behind in the environment that does justify the already impaired amount you have to take into account. What we already have buried in our balance sheet is the ramp-up cost and the $2 billion impairment we took last year. So overall, we have for the two assets already $5 billion that we somehow digested into our balance sheet.
Okay. And
the demand in the U.S., that was the thing. Our sales in the last quarter, with our shift that we set, we rather look onto the profitability of what we can get. We had too high volumes and inventories we had to reduce, so we sold off material at lower prices. If you compare our average revenues per ton to the CRU development, you will see a strange picture. While the CRU was increasing in our Q1 and Q2, we had dropping prices and average revenues per ton as we had to sell off overstock we had. In the last quarter, we saw that while the CRU was going down, our average revenues per ton was going up, closer now approaching CRU as we are closer to our customers and orders and reduced therefore a bit to be on a better price scheme and closer to the normal market prices. So therefore, our picture is somewhat distorted, but it doesn't show that we're not successful in a good market environment. Definitely not.
Okay, that's fine. That wasn't my question. My question was more, you had shipments falling quarter on quarter. Okay, so I appreciate that you said you were selling a lot from inventory in order to manage your working capital better.
And, yes, and in the quarter before. That was definitely in Q1 and Q2. We had to sell off at lower prices. This quarter was more stable compared to what we can sell on the current price levels.
Okay, and the absolute level of shipments falling quarter on quarter despite underlying demand in the U.S. actually being quite good, especially in the
In Q2, we sold off. In Q3, we did not sell off that much. Q2 was too high if you have an underlying line of what we sold in the U.S. market into our customer base where we want to be.
The point with really, the point you need to come back is the following. When we decided to sell the assets, the reason was that we clearly announced that the integrated model is not working. But today, we continue to work in the integrated model. That means we are not competitive with the slabs we produce in Brazil in the U.S. market. Your statement is right that the demand is there, but for us, it does not make sense to serve these demands if the prices are so low that with our slab, we would increase losses if we would ship more. This is what I said before. Which are not going in the premium segment, not for supporting the certification process, we will optimize cash and EBIT, and if it does make that we step back in shipments, we will do so.
Okay, that's perfect. That's the answer I wanted. And then just one last question on the certification process. If slab is not coming from Brazil, what happens to the certification process? Do you have to start from scratch, or can you simply say that you are using slab of a similar quality from, say, a domestic U.S. mill?
You know, for the certification process is only necessary for some of our OEM customers, which reflects, as I said, this year 5%, probably next year 10%. You are right. If we would change the slab supply, then for these 5 to 10%, we would need to recertify the piece we are changing. Yeah. So if we would if we consider both plants separately, a different slab source, then this is not an issue for 80% of our portfolio. But for some of our OEM customers, it would make necessary that we recertify. But this is also the reason why we said there is a kind of a transition period there, because even a new owner will probably the first month not have 2 million tons of slabs made available. So even the ramp down taking slabs from Brazil will take a while. And I think also buyers will be favorable because of the ramp up of different sources will take a while. So I think we can manage this very well.
Okay, perfect. And then one last question, gentlemen. You're probably sick and tired of me, but I'm going to ask it anyway. In terms of the maths, if you produce more slab in Brazil and you say you can't sell it in the US because it's loss-making and you want to optimize EBIT and cash and all of that, I completely understand. Why are you then not ramping up the Brazilian asset and selling that into Brazil? Selling slab into Brazil or doing something with that? Because that's a question we have to ask. If you're talking about selling these assets separately, I understand the U.S. can work on a standalone basis by buying domestic slab from somewhere else. But how does the Brazilian asset work on a standalone basis? Why aren't you ramping that up and selling slab into the Brazilian market now, selling to competitors?
The point is the following, that the slabs we produce right now in Brazil, from a dimension, especially from the thickness, need top-notch rolling mills, and most of the mills in Brazil cannot handle it right now. That was one of the questions at the very beginning of our conference call, where somebody asked, are you now rebuilding one of your casting lines? And that is what we are doing right now. So we are changing the capability of one of our casting lines to thinner slabs. And if this is done, then we are able to serve the Brazilian markets. And I clearly said that some of them have already expressed their interest to us.
Yeah, and maybe one additional point to that one. There is no way to sell up to 5 million tons of slab in the Brazilian grid in total, as well as it will be hard to buy 2.5 million tons or 3 million tons in the U.S. slab on the market.
Okay.
So, yes, we do see that a split is possible and the markets are there, but in our case, to do it standalone and decouple wouldn't work, as you couldn't get a sufficient slab supply or sell the 5 million tons in Brazil alone.
So if someone's looking to buy the Brazilian assets on a standalone basis, then is it going to require additional rolling capacity in Brazil for them to be able to sell those full 5 million tons domestically? Otherwise, they're going to be
That's why I said there is very, very different cases for very different buyers. So some do have rolling capacities. Some potentially want to build it. Some want to use it integratively, maybe having raw material supply from another port. So there is completely different cases for different buyers. And as we have, as I said, a double-digit number of interested parties, there's quite a huge variety of different cases.
Okay, perfect. Thank you very much. That's all from me.
Your next question comes from Jeff Lardner. Please ask your question.
Yeah, hi, good afternoon. Just a couple quick questions. You know, the first is on is focusing on CSA, I suppose. You know, besides the ongoing ramp up and some of these modifications to the caster, can you talk about the economics, and you've touched on this a little, the economics of actually producing a slab in Brazil? Is it at least, you know, say, moving in the right direction in terms of currency and wage inflation maybe abating a bit, so that it increases the attractiveness of this asset to potential buyers?
The overall environment is working somewhat in the right direction, but for the model integrated to the U.S., we see currency, for example, was now a bit helpful. But overall, it won't come back under current circumstances that the integrated model would work. But for the Brazilian market, our asset and the cost we can achieve there as a production cost will be on a very good level compared to the Brazilian market. So it's a good and attractive asset in the Brazilian environment, definitely.
Okay, great. That was kind of the point I was driving at. The second question is just looking at, more Steel Europe. I know you guys are hesitant to give guidance beyond the next quarter, but if I look at raw material prices, you know, particularly, let's say, coking coal, I mean, we could see some pretty meaningful cuts to the, say, fourth calendar quarter contract price for coking coal. I mean, iron ore has come down a bit, even though it seems to have found some support. You know, is there, when you look at your OEM contract customers, I mean, is it the kind of environment where you feel comfortable in holding on to price so that you can actually maybe get a bit of margin back, next fiscal year with raw material prices coming off? Or is it the type of market environment where, you know, frankly speaking, you're going to have to give some price back on these contracts simply because raw material prices are coming off?
First of all, I think for half of our business, we have half-year contracts, which we have finalized the renegotiation just, let's say, a few weeks ago. So, and let's say if, for those contracts, if the markets would still go down, let's say we have a chance, some benefit at least till the end of December. I think for the other half on our quarterly or let's say, shorter-term prices, let's say customers would probably immediately expect that if prices remain at that level, that we also adjust our end customer prices. The real, let's say, question for us is how rational the industry is reacting. Because remember what happened in October last year. In October last year, the raw material prices, and I make only reference to iron ore, for only a few days went down from 150 to 126. And based on the assumption that it will remain at that level, quite a number of steel manufacturers locked in with significant number of volume, giving prices which were based on the assumptions that the iron ore stayed at that level. That is actually the reasons why quite a number of steel manufacturers are now generating heavy losses. And hopefully they have learned the lessons that 3 or 4 days of lower prices does not allow you to quote for a full quarter or for half a year. We are well aware that iron ore went down by $25 per ton, but it went only down now for a week, and we really need to be careful, let's say, how long this will last this time. But if it works normally, as I said, then we would see some benefit for our half-year contracts. Our quarterly or short-term contracts probably will adjust faster to the new reality.
Yeah. But on top of that, keep in mind that for the P&L purposes, we value the raw materials we have in production on an average method, meaning new raw materials coming in are reducing the average now, but the effect will come in over time. Cash-wise, it helps immediately. The new orders come in at the new price. But for P&L, it takes some time till it's completely digested in the P&L.
So from a P&L perspective, it's going to be fairly smooth so that it's over the course of, say, 6 months.
You won't see it there immediately because we have quite some raw material inventory. For Steel Europe, we buy it free on board wherever they put it on board. Then it takes at least six weeks shipping. And the shipping then down to us. So there is something. Therefore, it takes, finally, it takes half a year till it's fully digested.
Great. Thanks.
Your next question comes from Torsten Zimmermann. Please ask a question.
Hey, good afternoon, gentlemen. Just a couple of short questions. The first one is on your credit lines, the 2.1 billion credit line that expires in July 14th, at least. That was what you printed in the annual report. Have you made any progress on that, on extending the terms, would be the first question. The second question is Taylor Blanks divestment. Could you give us an update? Could we still, or could we think of maybe seeing this executed in this financial year? And if not, maybe you could give us an idea what the issue really is there, what's holding it up, because it has boiled for some time. And the other thing on Steel Americas, that's the third question, what I don't fully understand is how can you optimize the fuel rate, really, if capacity utilization is so low? Normally, at least according to what I know, fuel rates go up quite a bit if you have a very low capacity utilization. So I just wonder, looking out for the coming quarters, can you really or should we really expect that you make some progress there without capacity utilization really moving? And finally, on Steel Europe, the volume down, average prices up in the current quarter. My first idea was that you're phasing out unprofitable volumes there. And so my question would be really looking at your complete product portfolio in Steel Europe. How much of that would be commodities, or would you would you consider to be close to being commoditized? And therefore, on what percentage of your overall volume would you consider yourself to be a swing producer? Those are my questions.
Let me start maybe with the credit lines. We have to pay back some loan notes mainly in the next year. In 1.5 years, we will have a syndicated loan for 2.5, where we will enter next year somewhere in the negotiations of a prolongation on that one. So that's too early to do. The other ones will have to be repaid, but we're well provided for that one. So financing there. On tailored blanks, maybe giving some updates there. We're well advanced in our discussions, but still too early to announce. But we hope that that it's not too long away from now that we can announce something.
The reason is very simple why it takes longer here, because here we have in all the countries additional shareholders, and this makes the process, let's say, not as fast as you normally, let's say, experience from our side. There are just more parties on the table, but nevertheless, we see good chance to execute it. Your statement on the fuel deal is absolutely right. That is the reason why, when the question was coming up earlier, I said it really does not make sense very much to talk now about optimized fuel rates, what we would target, because you are exactly right. If we reduce the output of the blast furnace to the minimum level, then naturally we need to our capability to use PCI is going down dramatically. So that's the reason why I said we need to come back to you when we have a better and stable volume planning for next year. But nevertheless, there is potential in it, because even if we have for a lower output, our PCI share is limited, but where we are not happy today that it's not stable. So let's say the capability of the team to run it on a stable share of coke to PCI is still not where we expect it to see. On the commodity side, I think whenever we explain our strategy in Europe, we said on the raw iron phase, we play the scale game, so that we really produce more than 10 million raw iron. But ideally, we do not like to serve it via commodity material to the market. That's the reason why we have medium wide strip heavy blade and also some tin plate and electrical steel. So the pure commodity, we believe, is in the range of around 10%.
Thank you.
The next question comes from Björn Voss. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon. Just one question with regard to components technology, because I was wondering that your development was quite stable, despite we see quite a dramatic development in the volume car market. Could you give us a split of your customers to understand better if you are dependent on this volume car manufacturers, or are you more exposed to the premium OEMs? Thank you.
Here we have the lucky situation that our customer base very much reflects the very successful premium car manufacturers, and this continues to run. We are very happy that, let's say, today we are very happy. Also in future, we would like to get more than our share with mass car production, which have a challenging time right now in Europe. So far, our volume is very, very, let's say, small.
That's it. Thank you.
And our next question comes from Alexander Hauenstein. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, Alex Hauenstein, Man First Bank. Two questions. First of all, coming back to the orders in Europe, the order intake was trending downwards. And do you expect this to turn again within this quarter or afterwards, or any indication on that one? The next question would be more general with regard to iron ore prices in the short term. Which signals do you hear out of China regarding a potential increase of appetite here for iron ore again by, let's say, later in the year? Maybe you can share some views here, what you see, what you hear. And maybe last thing with regard to free cash flow in Q4, should we see some further kind of, I would call it one-off cash items, meaning, for example, advanced payments like we've seen in Marine, maybe this time for Algeria? You mentioned that in your slide. Thank you.
So, as we said before, so far on the automotive, it's very stable. Also, we do not deny the likelihood that it might smoothen a little bit. I believe that the OEM manufacturers will give us a better hint after the holiday break. So far, they let's say the messages we do get from their side is it will run stable. We can compensate some, let's say, challenge on the market with new models coming, are launched in the second half of the year. But I can tell you, we believe the real truth comes when workers come back to work by end of August. We do not see, let's say, that it will break. But clearly, in our scenarios, we need to consider that it might weaken a little bit because, as you say, the assumption for the overall car production in Europe is minus 8%. And we do not believe that also the very successful premium car manufacturers can totally decouple from that trend. Now, on the iron ore price, you know, I think we have two effects. Very often in the last period, we had to accept the fact that price and demand did not always relate to each other. And it very much depends on the political leadership in China, how fast they make up their mind about the new leadership team and then do implement measures. To really, let's say, get some more momentum into that market. So right now it's difficult to judge. The only thing what I can say, also we always have doubts, you need to acknowledge that the Chinese leadership in the last years really did react appropriate, and most of the measures showed impact after 2 to 3 months. So I'm not so negative about China, about the capability of the Chinese government to bring in some new momentum as soon as the leadership issue is decided.
Regarding the free cash flow for the fourth quarter, yes, you can expect some one-times, but please keep in mind whenever we get the down payment, we have to pay some of our suppliers as well. So it's not 100% cash there, and you have always in the project the cash you need. So we need a certain volume of one-timers each and every quarter to get it.
Okay, thank you.
So, yeah, ladies and gentlemen, it looks as if we are approaching now the end of the conference call. We would like to thank you very much for your attendance, for the very good questions. And if there might be any further questions, you know that the IR department, the IR team is always available for you, and we look forward to staying in touch with you. Thank you very much, and bye-bye, and have a great weekend.